Good morning. It's great to be with you again. And I want to continue on with what Deaconess Bessie has brought to you last Sunday about this year being a year of prayer, pursuing the heart of God, a year of prayer. And to help us reflect on this, I've chosen to preach from Psalm 84. So please keep your Bible open there at night. This is page 965. You know, the page number is very important in our church Bible because so the paper is so thin, right? And so we have to flip. So page 965, Old Testament portion, Psalm 84. I'm sure that you will agree that when we read the Psalms, sometimes we can feel rather uncomfortable. We find in it an intense pursuit of God, a deep love and a longing. And C.S. Lewis, in his book on the Psalms, he called it an appetite for God. And he bemoaned the absence of such an attitude among his Anglican contemporaries in the United Kingdom of his day. Of course, Singapore is no different. We sometimes frown on people who are too emotional or too passionate, because passion, of course, is something you can see and observe. We frown on it in a very ordered, sophisticated, almost first-world society that we live in. We think that Christians should not take their faith too seriously. But Psalm 84, similar to many psalms in the Psalter, calls us to a passionate faith. It is a psalm which throbs with longing. It's almost like a love song. So if you look at the psalm open before you, you see that there are actually three stanzas of four verses each. And the stanzas are divided by this word, Selah, likely to denote a musical pause. A psalm, as you know, is actually a song. And so I'm going to build my sermon around the structure of this psalm. And I want you to know that each stanza also contains a beatitude. Blessed is the man. So a psalm, being a song, is a song of the journey of a pilgrim who is on his way to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. So it begins with a longing. It starts with a longing. Then it moves on into a journey and then arrival at the temple. And of course, this journey very often also depicts the Christian journey. And may we, by the Holy Spirit, may we be helped to reflect and to hear what the Lord is saying to us as the year has just opened. I just feel it's just opened. I know we're into February, but I just feel it's still fresh as the year has started. So firstly, the longing. So how lovely is your dwelling place? Oh, let me read, make sure I stick to the right version, ESV. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The journey may start physically from verse 5. But the journey actually first started in the heart of the pilgrim with a deep longing for the courts of the Lord, for the dwelling place of the Lord. You can see it actually more clearly in Hebrew because the words used for lovely, the heart longs, the flesh faints. This is poetic language of love. It's intense, it throbs with longing. For those of you who have, not all, but some of you have fallen in love before, you know what I mean. When I first dated Jennifer, I'm not sure whether she's here, she may stick into this service, but she was there at 8 a.m. That was long ago. I just told you a few Sundays ago, I qualified for CPF. Right, so you can roughly guess my age. Oh, you don't need to guess, you know my age. Right. as of 7th of January, I qualify to take a portion of my CPF. Some financial advice, leave it there. Unless you know what to do with it, just leave it there. Okay, anyway. When I first dated Jennifer, she was studying at Edinburgh. There were no email, no such thing as the emails, right? WhatsApp, no instant messaging. So we courted through writing letters. Turn your neighbor and say, letters. Right? Not letters, the alphabet, but real letters. Now, I know, how many of you have seen an aerogram before? Some of you have seen, right? Remember that blue color thing? Just one piece of paper, right? And I used to write, use up every space, squeeze in every word. And then you know? Right? Remember that? Yeah? And then you seal it, right? So there's the closest I can get, you know, slivers of love. Someone who is far away. Now, the main thing about letter writing is you have to wait, you see. Also, there's an in-between time. And if she's busy, very often I'm very quick to write, you know, but she'll be taking her time. And it'll be a few weeks before the next letter arrives. That creates a sense of longing. So one can say, my heart then was longing and my flesh was fainting, right, for the next letter to come. I used to stay in an apartment, and the postman was asleep. The letters underneath the door. Sometimes you have a love letter from the government. Oh, boring, you know. Then the aerogram, you know, her handwriting, and then there's the heart leaps with joy, right? So the sense of being in love. Of course, I searched my own heart, having become a Christian since the age of 13, and reflect on my teenage years as a Christian. And some nights, because I stay in the terrace house with 20 old people, and so it's nearly impossible to pray, to worship, or to do your devotion unless you wake up early in the morning. So some evenings I'll go to a nearby playground to pray. And I always look forward to going to church. Rain or shine, I will cycle for 30 minutes to get to church. And never miss, and the word is never, unless I'm sick, right? But I will never intentionally miss a church prayer meeting. Maybe just 1.5 hours or overnight prayer meetings. You know, some of us have not heard of overnight prayer meetings, right? But there was a time when overnight prayer meetings was invoked. And so sometimes once a month, we have overnight prayer meeting. And if you're a leader in the church, you have to be there, you know. At least you be there out of mercy for the pastor to support him. And at 4 a.m., at the 4 a.m. point, Terry, please pray this prayer. Please lead us in prayer. You hear a long silence, right? But I never miss a church prayer meeting. In fact, this pattern continued into my young adult life. Of course, since becoming a church worker in the mid-20s, I'm now paid, I become paid to do what I love. That, of course, did change church a bit for me, as you can imagine. After all, you have to be in church. That is your day of work. All eyes are watching. People expected me to go to church, whether people at home or those who are in church. I recall in the year 2015, I spent 6 months on sabbatical in Toronto. And that was my first sabbatical after 30 years of being in full-time ministry. That is, if you can say, after 30 years of being a professional church goer. Let me tell you something. It was a joy to rediscover again what it means to come to church simply to worship. Not to fulfill anyone's expectations. Not to do any duties. No pressure to be preaching or to be organizing the service. I'm sure Bessie or Liang Kwan is coming this morning. Even though not in preaching, so many things to think about to put such a massive service together. To be completely free of that. And sometimes on Saturday night, I will check my Google and say, now, which church will I go this morning? This sense of just being able to worship God in the church. And I attended all kinds of churches. Some were large like this. This concert very large, yeah, in a city like Toronto. And some churches were very small, just 20 or 30 people. And I heard all kinds of sermons, long, short, interesting, dry, deeply scriptural, or hardly scriptural, the launching pad sermon-based, Bible-based sermon, I call them. and worship all kinds, traditional, liturgical, hymnal, contemporary, rock and roll. You know something? I realize that it doesn't matter. I realize I've matured as a Christian through the years, that I can worship God anywhere, in any church, as long as He's honored and the Word of God is upheld. It's honored, yeah? Indeed, how lovely it is to be in a dwelling place. Come and let us go to the house of the Lord to be in God's presence and to be with His people. And some of you this morning, it's a privilege. Let me tell you that, to come to church and just to worship. If you have any sense of anxiety in your heart, just to seek His face. Of course, with time, the way we love our spouse, the way we love God, will change with time. We become less emotional as a whole, and our loving commitment takes on a settled discipline, an ordered discipline. Yet the issue of where the heart is should always be looked at. That's what this psalm is telling us. And some will say the largest gap in the world is the gap between the head and the heart. And today, in the modern world, in a highly educated world, there's a mistake of equating head knowledge with Christian maturity. There's a book, You Are What You Love, written by James Smith. Actually, James Smith has written a few books. This is one book that he pared it down so that the lay can understand. But he explored the whole issue of heart, worship, and desire. So in this book, he argued for the sweeping St. Augustine claim. Now, St. Augustine, if you are familiar with his writings, few of you are, I half suspect, but you're familiar with his writings, you see that he put a lot of emphasis that we are shaped most by what we love. We are shaped most by what we love, more so than what we think or do. It is desire, not knowledge, that shapes our Christian life. So a Christian may be hearing sermons and doing all the Christian thing, but if his heart or the desires of his heart, his affections, are ordered differently, he's likely to follow his heart rather than what he hears on Sunday. And James Smith goes on to say how culture, more than anything else, is a powerful shaper of our desires. And so, the preacher may preach until he's blue in his face, but you return back to your real world on Monday. You open straight times, and you can see the values of the world. You go to school and see people talking. So those who go to office, someone crack a dirty joke, you know, and then you get into the whole mood again, right? Or you may surf and go pornography or things like that. Or you watch the TV sitcom, the values of the world is just pumping at you every day, shaping your heart, shaping your desire. And it's not that we should stop preaching. It's not that me, Nicholas Message, should stop preaching. But that, of course, we have to go beyond preaching, right? During the Lent season, we'll be talking about it, how the church is building up a healing ministry, because we also realize that to help people to grow in Christ, it's not just enough to tell them. You need to journey with them and give an avenue for those who want to grow to find places of healing, places where they can restore and recover their vocation. I would say recover their life back. The devil comes to kill and steal and destroy, but Jesus, brothers and sisters, has come to give us life and life more abundantly. So it's what our heart loves and pursues which will order our lives. In fact, this cultural shaping of desires account for the tremendous pressure on the church today to change a long-held teaching. It's not logic. It's not about whether the Word of God is true or not. It's not about psychology or about social studies. All of us know some of the traditions of our society keeps our society strong, brings health, give hope for future generation. But it is how, at the base of it, we are losing the battle, because desires are being changed. And when desires become overwhelming, it overwhelms logic. And there's a clamor for change. Another time I'll talk about it. It's not for this morning. The heart wants what it wants. A famous celebrity once proclaimed this, but he was cornered. Even he did something that even the secular world looked at him and said, that's wrong. But he boldly proclaimed, the heart wants what it wants. That may well be the rallying call of this modern age. Now, classically, the church always said that Christian growth is not just about the mind, but the heart. That's another way of saying the same thing. Nothing wrong with desire in itself. It is what is ordered towards. So I sum up this section by saying, brothers and sisters, as we think about Christian growth, as we think about Christian education, as we think about discipleship, don't just think of knowledge. Think of how we can help each other to shape our hearts. And that's the reason why we run church prayer meetings. I come out here, it means I'm really saying something very, very, really important, all right? We run church prayer meetings, so you know, not because we like numbers, and so that you know we don't collect offering during church prayer meetings, you know. But the church run church prayer meetings, call people to small group in prayer, because it's part of spiritual discipline that we know will be good for you, especially in this modern addictive world that we live in, right? We use discipleship, we call people in the connect groups, because we know that these are disciplines that God and grace and gifts that God has given to the church as old as the gospel itself. And through this, the Lord help us to grow. I'm coming back to the pulpit now. So the psalmist said here, my heart and my flesh, another version will say, cried out for the living God. ESV version will say, sing for joy to the living God. Either way, you can translate. It says more or less, the same thing. For we sing, we are crying out for joy. And we cry out not so much our sentimentality, oh, I love that song, I miss that song, or I love that church, or that service. He's crying out for the living God. He wants to experience the presence of God. He's desiring after God. So this psalm moves on to say, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, that she may have a young, a place near your altar. And here the psalmist shifts his language from periodic visits to dwelling in a place of dwelling, right? Dwelling in a dwelling place. He envied the permanent residence in the temple of the Lord, the birds. Some of you may or may not realize, but not here, this is mostly closed, it's underground space, but in the nave, you know, the nave is a very high ceiling, and the door is open most of the time, and it's on the ground floor, right? And so from time to time, there are birds visiting us, sometimes during services. Those are more holy, we say, the Lord is visiting us, right? Others are saying, let's get rid of the bird, right? And we have flies flying around, insects flying around, one got into my throat, you know, I heard that story while I was doing communion, and I choked, I couldn't say anything, right? Just a fly I got into. And I've seen things scurrying around the floor of the nave. Should I be more explicit? You're worshipping here, so it's safe to tell you. At 8 o'clock, I refrained from saying what they are. Once I saw a big rat going underneath the Lord's table. 7 a.m. service. He's a good Anglican, you know. He was in service very early. And so I was seated behind the Lord's table, and I turned immediately to the lay reader and said, hey, are you afraid of rats? He said, no. Can you go on the Lord's table and please celebrate the Lord's table? And then, you know, funny things been crawling up on me. So, interesting, right? But so, next time you visit the nave, when you see some things that other than a human being or permanent residence there, you may want to say, remember this psalm and say, even, you know, has found a home in the house of the Lord. But such is the envy. It is psalmist. Such is his longing to be God's house. He envied even the sparrows and the swallows. So in the Bible, we know swallows are a symbol of low worth. I won't say they're completely worthless, but very low worth. Remember Jesus once said, referring to the value of the sparrow, he said this, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet no one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value, infinitely more valuable than many sparrows. But here the psalmist says that even a sparrow has found a home in God's house. If the sparrow, of course, pilgrims, men and women called to be his children, made in this image, they too can find a home at the altars of God. And you can move on here, actually preach a gospel message. The altar, of course, referring to the cross as well in the New Testament. Unworthy as you may be, that you think to receive God's love or receive forgiveness after what you've done this week, remember, even a sparrow can be in the holy altar of God. Because of the love of God or what His Son has done for us on the cross, we too can enter into God's presence. The swallow is a different species of bird. It's a restless bird. Most of the time in the air, occasionally it comes down to build a nest for the young. And so the traveling pilgrim can find rest in God's house. As St. Augustine again famously put it, you have made us for yourself. You have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Beautifully said. But underline this part of Psalm 84 so well. So it ends in verse 4 with the first of three Beatitudes. How blessed or how blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord, or those who dwell in the dwelling presence of God. The longing, now we have the journey, verses 5 to 9. So blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. It begins actually with the second beatitude. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And ESV correctly translated it, whose hearts are the highways to Zion. In ancient times, the highway was an artificially constructed road that provided a level and unhindered path to the destination. Right? Remember, in those days, most people walk, and some may go on horses, donkeys, but it is roads, very simple roads, but level and unhindered to make it easy for pilgrims, for travelers. And so pilgrims, while worshipping in Jerusalem, three times a year at least, will be traveling through these highways to Jerusalem to worship. And so you can imagine figuratively what a powerful picture when the psalmist said, in whose heart are the highways? In whose hearts are set a certain direction, it's a fixed direction towards the temple of God, directed towards God. Very powerful picture again of where our hearts are ordered, are the highways to the Lord found in our hearts. And we were told as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it the place of springs. Again, a beautiful phrase. And Baca, again, scholars are not, can be fully certain what it's referring to, but probably refers to a dry and barren desert place. The point is this, the pilgrim who loves God will turn it into springs. A person who loves God will go through a hard time, and something that is bitter can become better. A cliche, it's a good reminder. Instead of making a person bitter, he's the overcomer. It makes him a stronger and better person. Or another translation, from a valley of weeping is turned into springs of joy. St. Paul said it in the New Testament way, in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. If you love God and call according to His purpose, even the hard times can be times of growth, times of renewal, times of positive change. The same can be said of our own Christian journey. Can also be said of our own Christian ministry. A Christian who impacts those around him or her is someone who loves God, for he brings spiritual refreshment wherever he goes. And that is our prayer this year, pursuing the heart of God, a year of prayer. That's our prayer this year, that we will see God doing something new in Cathedral, not just for the sake of Cathedral members, certainly for those who are worshipping here, but also for the nation, for the churches around us. Next year, of course, is a very significant time. It's a 200 year of the founding of Singapore. And we look back with thanksgiving that Christians, many Christian leaders, with great sacrifice, faith, and example, has given us such a solid foundation, not just for churches, but for our nation. The Christian influence in Singapore is undeniable. If you stay here long enough, you can see it. And thanks to those who are faithful, those who have come before us. The question now is for us, you see. As we pass through the Valley of Baka, there are Baka places here in Singapore. It's not just about place, it's just about situation as well, difficult areas for God's love and truth to thrive and to blossom. This promise, as we pass it through, for a person who loves God, can he be an instrument, use of God, to bring renewal and revival to the nation? It can happen through those who will love God. And that's so my prayer. And I've shared the leaders' conference. That's my prayer. That my ministry will be marked, they'll be faithful to the calling. You have heard me share about that a few Sundays ago. They'll be faithful to the calling that God has placed upon me to be an instrument He can use to bring renewal, to bring breakthrough, to bring growth. It's some of the hardest places to believe that the love of God can break through. The Baka places can turn into springs of joy. And as we do so, the promise that we won't be weary, we can grow from strength to strength. And this psalmist is saying, we can mount up with wings like eagles. I think again, I must have preached on that from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We can be changed as Christians from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Being transformed into the image of Christ. Such is someone who is a pilgrim, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, running the race. But how difficult it is, it can get at times, his eyes is fixed on the Lord Jesus. And so the arrival. Now coming to the third stanza. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So in this last section, the pilgrim finally reached the temple. And he said, this is better to be near the courts of the Lord as a doorkeeper than to be in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be on the threshold of something good than to be at the heart of something that's wicked. I'd rather serve in a humble position as a doorkeeper. Modern doorkeeper today, maybe the verger, maybe the ushers, right? Than serve in an honored position, to be a chairman of a society, of a club, that's wicked, that is anti-Christ, using New Testament language. I'd rather experience one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Strong comparative language, brothers and sisters, is being made here. It's important to understand what the psalmist is saying. He's not saying he has a foot in the world and a foot in God. It's not as if he wants both. One more than the other. If possible, keep both. What he's saying is that he wants so much, one of the two. So much. Like, by comparison, the other is completely worthless to him. Who else used the same language in the New Testament? St. Paul, right? Philippians 3, verse 7. He said this, I count it as, you know, in Greek, it is a word that I cannot say over the pulpit. And so, I think other translation translate as dung, more acceptable, right? I count it as dung compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. What a desire the psalmist is challenging us to have. So, brothers and sisters, where our hearts oriented, that will be decisive for how 2018 will turn out. Jesus already said, already warned us, we cannot serve two masters. Sometimes we think we can. We can't. We cannot serve two masters. So will it be money, mammon, or God? Will it be the church, things of the Lord, or the world? Will it be drugs, or Bible? You wonder, what? How can a book fight with drugs, right? Right. I use the word drugs. You can imagine I can use a lot of other words apart from drugs. But drugs, as you know, has a very powerful addictive nature. It shapes your desires, condition your brain. It's irrational, but you still desire after it. I don't know. Am I speaking the right crowd? I'm not in prisons, am I? Oh, this is the church, all right? But you know what I'm talking about. Things that causes powerful addiction in our lives. And that's the reason why as a church, we're still exploring ways to help each other, because no one can grow in holiness alone, certainly not in a city like Singapore. So what will it be? The battle, the journey starts here, isn't it? Begins in our hearts. So verse 11, this promise, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. It means he's everything. He will enlighten us. He will guide us. And as a shield, of course, he will also protect us. It means everything. The Lord will bestow favor and honor. And no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. It's not as if God is just playing a rewarding game. But this is so a true principle in life. There are consequences to the things we do, to the direction we set, the journey that we take, where we want to go, right? He's saying, if you follow a walk that's blameless, blessings and favor will come to those. And now we come to the third beatitude, who have chosen to trust in God. Indeed, they will be blessed. In verse 12, the third beatitude, the third stanza, blessed are those who trust in God. So I invite you therefore on this journey in 2018. It's a journey we're going to share together. First, of course, is Bishop's Heart as well, a year of prayer. And we have added this phrase, pursuing the heart of God. Because again, when you think of a year of prayer, when we think again, prayer is activity, as a discipline. It is a discipline. But if it's first a desire, and then a discipline. True? Right? It's first a desire, and then it grows into discipline. And of course, from time to time, you need to renew that desire so that flagging discipline, as Paul says, the Word of God says, don't flag in zeal, but sometimes we flag in zeal so that it can be restored. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You are like me when you are younger. You never miss a church prayer meeting, right? But of course, the heaviness of work, pressures in life may have taken over. So I invite you this year to help build Cathedral to be a house of prayer for all nations. The Cathedral will be marked as a people who knows how to pray. And we have the prayer and praise, every church at prayer, every month, and the various other prayer activities we've been putting on website, on Facebook, and next week, I think, this coming bulletin will again make it very, very clear. Many, many points of prayer, many types. Some of you prefer one to two, some of you prefer a big concert prayer, whatever it may be, just to gather in prayer, to give it a priority to seek the Lord for the nation, and to seek His face, to pursue the heart of God. You know, Joyce Hole and the media team, in my opinion, I think they're one of the best in Singapore, not church media team, because they designed a beautiful logo here, and much more. They work very hard. The communication ministry Cathedral is very effective. Thank the Lord for those who work very hard at it. But here, this is a beautiful logo, right? I'm not sure what you see in that thing. You know, some you see angels, some you see some other thing, but actually it's just nothing but just a pair of hands, right? And there's a shape of the heart. Okay, so pursuing the heart of God, the heart, in prayer, year of prayer, right? Praying. In other words, as a church, and I pray not just as a church, but in your life too, you want to seek first His kingdom. As we just heard in the song just now, you want to seek His glory, and you also want to glorify Him, right? The new song that you sung, the last song that you sung. This sense of desiring for the glory of God in all you do, in your business, your studying, in your marriage, all difficulties that you may face, just seeking to pursue the heart of God. And you continue to miss the mark, as I will. By His grace, it brings us back to the center, Psalm 84, to come back to Him again, to the altars of God. God, you are there. And to have a cross-shaped life, and that includes coming to church on time, maybe discover the joy of coming to church. I have to come to church, but this sense of coming to church. I know it's a challenge here in the cathedral, especially in this service. It's almost full. Car park is a nightmare sometimes. You have to park around, and when it rains, it gets very chaotic. But this sense of coming with spiritual expectation, coming to seek the Lord, that every service, we have chosen to build our lives around worship, right? That every service takes us further as a church into the presence of God, to desire His presence, to see a renewal, the revival sweeping across the cathedral, not just because we are talking about it, but because we are praying about it. Someone said we should gather in prayer to pray for revival. In fact, I corrected the person and said, if the church can be gathered in prayer, I think a revival has started. Do you believe that? Right? If the church can be awakened to come together to pray, not for just for a concert. Michael Card, this whole place will be filled, I think, if he's singing here in the name. Whole place will be filled. We know how easy that is. A good choir, whatever. But the church prayer meeting. Christians coming together to seek the Lord and treat the favor of the Lord in their own lives for the church and for the nation. 2018, can it be a year of change? Can it be known as a year the cathedral changed the way she prays? The year the cathedral changed her priority. The way cathedral made many other churches in Singapore transform Christianity in Singapore from a society that's just doing things to a Christian family that learns how to wait, learns how to seek His face. Amen. And I believe God will continue to do great and mighty things in the years to come if we, in this generation, is faithful to serve God's purpose in our generation. So Lord, we thank You for Your word that continually come to us in one way or another in this season, through Bishop, to Deaconess Bessie, through others as well. The Leaders' Conference too, You have been speaking to us. Spirit of God, there's so much that sometimes takes away our focus. So we ask You may help us. And like this psalmist, Lord, we want to orient our hearts to long for You, O God, to thirst for You, to cry out for the living God, to pray that churches that meet across the city of Singapore experience Your presence, that Your holiness, Your purity will grip us, will take hold of our hearts more than the things and attractions of this world, that we love God more than anything else. Oh God, may the body of Christ in Singapore glorify Your name. For us here in Cathedral,
May you help us to walk into the calling that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us. Thank you, Lord, that you, when we take one step of the way, you take many, many steps to rush towards us to help us. So, Lord, we pray, may your grace, your strength, your anointing carry us in this coming year. For we ask and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.